I think that's the oil burner that's on.
What? Is it really? No, I'm not even washing clothes today. I haven't even done it alone. No,
yeah. Oh. But yeah, I told my wife that this has laundromat because
there's
laundry being done every single day.
Okay, because we have laundry every single day. We have a three-year-old who messes everything up every single day.
What? Hey, you know what I have? I have a microphone.
Yeah.
I have a microphone I planted in the White House.
Oh, you did?
You want to hear it?
Can I hear it?
It's in the office. Hold on, here it is. Wait, let's listen carefully.
Of course, I believe that. I don't get that.
Calm down, Donnie. You lost.
I'm sorry, but...
Back to Mar-a-Lago for you.
That's wrong. No, my mom says he's moving to Italy or Mexico.
Mexico. But Mexico only sends us rapists, Carolina.
Oh, my
Remember
God, don't
that?
Say that.
Trump said that.
Really?
What
oh,
do you think?
God.
Do you think kicked hey,
right, hey, guys, this is Carolina Cadillo Show. I'm Carolina.
Hey, Jeff here.
Jeff, I'm really low. I'm really low. Turn my vibe a little bit.
You're complaining about everything.
Yeah.
How about the button right there?
Jeff now lets Jackson play
How's
in the
that?
Studio. Yes, that's a little bit better. Yeah, a little bit better.
How much louder do you want it?
A little louder.
Oh, my God, there's something wrong here.
Yeah. Yeah, because Jeff lets Jackson
studio
play
needs,
the
studio needs rewiring.
So hey guys, it's Wednesday. Today is the 18th of November, right?
Yes, it's the 11th day after the last day of the Trump presidency, or
and
whatever
the,
it is.
And the electoral process is still continuing. The counting still continues, right?
Well, yeah, they have to count because Trump's complained about the count.
But,
so
Jeff, you know what I don't get?
What?
So overnight, Trump fires the man who actually says the voting process is there's no fraud there.
Right, because
it's legal.
Right, he didn't like what he said, so he canned him. He was canned.
But he fired him on the basis of what?
A tweet. The guy tweeted out something, right? I believe. And then Trump fired him by tweet.
Yeah, but the guy did nothing wrong.
No, he told the truth. Trump doesn't like the truth.
Do you think that Biden can rehire him?
Yeah, I think Biden, you know, but the guy will probably get a job in some
He'll write a book. I just can't believe our whole electoral process right now. I mean, it's a disrespect to United States. And I don't understand. Jeff, isn't there a law that can say, okay, Donald, you lost?
Yeah, there is.
Let the next, you know, come on in. Share the secrets for the coronavirus or, you know, military, whatever's going on.
It's a process we're going through. It's a legal process, and Trump's not letting it continue. It's by law. The old administration has to help the new administration come in. Donald Trump.
You are one pathetic loser.
Oh my
so
God.
Therefore, you know, there's issues. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No one will tell Donald Trump.
Shut up.
No one will tell him this.
Shut up.
Nobody. No, but, that's
ugly. You're ugly. Whoops. And your mother ugly. And your sister ugly. You're just plain old ugly.
Oh, my God.
I hit the wrong button. Okay. Sorry. That was not
but Jeff, no one wants to intervene because some of the Republicans are now coming out and saying, well, you know, he needs to concede.
They have to. They have no choice.
Rudy
Giuliani was in court in Pennsylvania yesterday arguing about this stuff, and they said, where's your proof? And he doesn't have any proof. It's
they
just
have
like,
no proof.
They're saying, now the big thing is they're saying the voting machines were designed in Venezuela, and they came from Canada, so therefore they're evil. These people are just done, man.
Look, and meanwhile, every lawsuit has been tossed out, right?
They haven't even been tossed out, or they haven't been heard. They ignored because the problem is
does not compute.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
You know,
that's
exactly
the issue. There's troubles there.
And meanwhile, Giuliani is requesting $20,000 a day salary.
Yeah. Okay. Imagine
for
that.
Work challenging election results.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What is it you're doing that you want $20,000 a day? By the way, I don't know which one of his kids. I don't know if it's Caroline or I forgot the other kid's name.
Andrew.
Andrew Giuliani?
Yeah, he's thinking of running for mayor, right?
One of them is totally against Trump and even tweeted about it.
I believe the daughter is anti-Trump. Not,
Caroline,
not
right? Caroline.
Is it Caroline her name?
Yes.
These kids are like 25 or 30 years old now, right?
Yeah.
They're not children, you know, that little kids anymore.
And even Chris Christie, he even says, you know, come on, Donald, you have to concede.
You're done.
Yeah, I mean, even his own people, come on.
It's time.
I'm just saying that. Can't someone just go to the White House and say, you know, shut up and just, you know, call the new president-elect.
I have another microphone in the bathroom this time.
Let's
the Trump
hear it.
Bathroom.
Let's hear it.
There it is, exactly. That's amazing. I mean, such a baby. Nobody else, no one will talk to this guy.
That's it.
He's done. He's out. These lawsuits are going nowhere. There was no voter fraud. It's not proven. The only people who believe it are extremists and crazy people. Okay. And Trump, the seeds of this for months and months and months. I know you don't like this to make this an all political podcast.
No, I don't. But
this is the news right now. This is the virus.
But even if a Democrat president had law, let's just say Biden had lost and he was
he would have conceded already.
Yeah, but I would be, if he was acting the opposite, was acting, okay, man, give it up already.
We've had 240-something years of this country, okay? We've never had an election disputed like this, except the Al Gore-George Bush one. And the difference there was that was a recount because they had those chads. Remember the hanging chads people, and they punched a punch card, and some of those chads weren't punched all the way, so they had to do a recount. And,
okay, that's
in the,
different.
And in the end, Al Gore lost 537 votes. I remember that. Okay.
Right.
And they claim that the Supreme Court stopped the count. The Supreme Court stopped the counting, so the Republican-leaning Supreme Court handed the election to Al Gore 20 years ago. A little history lesson for everybody. And this time around, the Supreme Court is not going to hand anything to Donald Trump, because even some Republican state legislatures who certify, officially are the ones who certify the election, are saying, sorry, that's it. All right, I hope we're not boring anybody.
All right, hey,
my
listen.
My apologies.
Okay, so that's, I'm just done with that. I'm just done. I'm just done with politics. Come on, let's move on. And let's hopefully we'll have the new president January 20th, right?
Yeah, I mean,
so let's see what happens.
They're going to drag this guy kicking and screaming. He might not. He might go to Mar-a-Lago for Christmas and not come back. You never know.
You think that's going to happen?
I don't. You know, can I say something? I don't know what. I will make no prediction. If you listen back to the podcast, I believe we did right before Election Day.
Yeah.
I think I said Trump was going down. That was it. And he's gone down. You know what's funny? Here's the thing, and I won't talk politics after this, but my belief is just that the Republicans can't believe this guy had these big rallies and all these people were supporting Trump and he lost. How is it possible he lost? It's possible he lost because he chose to act like an idiot. He chose to continue to act like an idiot and call people names and ignore the virus. And people just decided, you know what, we've had it with this guy. That's it. You gave us, we had 4 years of your lunacy, of yelling, calling people. I love how people say they never gave him a chance.
And he even
never gave
last
anybody
night,
else
you
a
know
chance.
What, withdrawing troops, is that the right thing to do right now,
Well,
Jeff?
No, he's going against what he said that he would ever do.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's leaving, that's why, because he knows he's going.
I mean,
so he's doing anything.
I was hearing this morning that he's putting, by doing that, he's putting at risk terror come back.
Well, any lunatics will be lunatics.
Hey, listen, move on. Hey, let's get Jack Rico, okay? Jack Rico!
Let me call him.
He's
right?
Our friend. We haven't had him in a while. And Jack's up to something new again, Jeff.
Really?
He's got something cooking again, so. No, not that.
What the heck was that?
You know what I love about Jack? He keeps reinventing himself, Jeff, constantly.
By the way, guys, my wife asked me last night, what's so funny about farting, okay?
Oh.
Come on, man. You know, well, farts are funny.
I even asked Jackson, and I said, Jackson, this morning, did you fart? He goes, yes, and he starts laughing. That funny, Mommy, that funny.
Boys think farts are funny. Girls don't. Right?
Yes. So,
That's all there is to it. Well, I got a hair appointment at soon.
Okay, let's go. Let's call Jack. He's got a new podcast, guys.
What happened to what was the other one called?
The Consumer Reports.
Yeah.
Show. Let's ask him.
No, not Consumer Reports. No. His showbiz podcast.
I don't know. Let's ask him.
Let's see.
Jack Rico.
He's probably wondering who the phone call's from because my name comes up in there as something else.
I think he knows that it's you. Okay, we're on Jack Rico. Jeff, you see his.
Hello?
Hey, Jack Rico. It's Carolina and Jeff. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. It's Jeff and Carolina.
Oh, wow. You're in a good,
I love that.
I bet you wouldn't have been as good a mood if Trump had won, right?
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Hey, right out of the box.
But you know what? This is what's trending, Jack. It's like you know, even if you don't want to talk about politics, it's almost like you have to, right?
Listen, everything has been politicized. I'm shocked that the Carolina show has been politicized.
Exactly.
Well, a little bit. We're trying to still do nonsense nonstop.
It's just a comedy show happen every single day. He gets fired. He's doing this. He's doing that. Doesn't want to leave the White House. He's crying. It's like this should be a movie. I'm sure it's going to be a movie at some point.
Oh, this will be a movie. Yeah, a book. There's probably a million books written already, right, Jack?
Yeah, interesting that you say that everything's been politicized, because I think that the big one that hit me more than anything in around March, May, June, was when sports essentially got canceled. Mm. And then that started to be politicized, because I'm not sure if you guys remember with the NBA, how the players weren't going to play, and then they decided to. They were going to strike, and then the WNBA. So all the sports kind of went on strike. Even soccer in Europe was striking, and everything has been politicized, including movie theaters reopening.
Yeah.
I mean,
when we say politicized, we're really talking about how it's been taken out of the hands of the leaders of our communities, from culture, and then placed in the hands of a politician. So the reason the movie theaters haven't reopened in New York City, are, you know, theater owners don't want to open it up. They're dying to. If not, it's Bibles on it. But it's Andrew Cuomo, a politician, the governor of New York, who has not given a K. So yeah, it's been politicized. And sports has been politicized. Arts has been politicized. Everything has been politicized. And one of the things that I like about that situation is that, you know, my friend Mike and I, we've had this conversation on our Brown and Black podcast where we ask ourselves, were we living in a world that was probably overwhelmingly distraction full actions? Were you waking up in the morning working, and then when you came back home, everything was distractions? No reading politics, no understanding about our communities.
Yeah.
We're doing that because I was at fault for that. I didn't give a shit about knowing anything that was happening in our communities, locally, what was happening to my neighbor. I was so caught up in living in a fantasy. I was so caught up in never getting stressed, just doing things that indulged my senses.
In your own bubble, really,
honestly,
right?
Yeah.
Honestly, it got to a point where I said, I'm glad this happened, because now I can read a little bit about the history of my country, history of Latinos, of blacks, and why all this nasty, violent shit is happening in our country.
Exactly.
I really didn't want to know.
So, Jack,
I almost don't want to know now, because I'm kind of burnt out. I thought that Bill Maher had a really interesting take on it last week. He did a whole riff on the fact that Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani completely differ on politics, apparently, but they're in love. And Bill Maher did this whole thing about how, listen, not every Trump supporter is marching in line with Hitler. You know what I mean? And not every Democrat is out there marching with Antifa and saying that we should go to socialism. And I think it's a really important message that, you know, when people say, oh, he voted for Trump, he's an asshole, that's just, you really can't say that about people. You know what I mean? It goes nowhere. That's just my opinion.
Well,
nowhere.
Let's look at you, Jeff. Let's look at you for a second.
Yeah.
You know, you're not married to a white woman.
Right.
You're married to Carolina. So what has been, since the pandemic and since racial inequality has completely revealed itself in America, how has life as a white man married to a Latina woman, how has life like that been for you?
Life has been good. You know, we have an understanding in this house. I don't, you know, we get along on a people level. You know, we don't, you know, I don't look at my wife and say, you know, I know clearly she's Spanish, and she says to me, oh, you're white. You know what I mean? That's part of why we work so well together. Because,
yeah, but Jack, you know, in this house, we're, Jeff's Spanish, and we're both Spanish, and we're both white, and you know what? He's Jewish, and I'm a Christian, and this house, everything, we celebrate everything, you know?
Just, I stopped using the N-word, you know? I'm kidding. I never use the N-word. I never use... I'm only kidding.
No,
it's a joke, for God's sake.
Bleep that out.
That's a joke. Come on.
All right.
You know?
But anyway, so Jack, let's just go back a little bit. So, you're constantly reinventing yourself, my friend. You're on TV, you're on radio, podcast, and back on TV, hosting Consumer Reports. Now, you're doing a new podcast, Brown and Black, and I saw the article in Forbes magazine. I said, oh, my God.
Forbes? How did he get in Forbes?
Yeah, seriously.
Who do you know? Who do you know? Man.
What is this new project?
You guys are too funny.
What is this new project?
So Brown and Black is a project that came out of this idea that, you know, the thing with Latinx is that when you just do Latinx, which is the Highly Rodcast that I've been doing, it's kind of like around the same time that you started yours, we kind of started ours. It was after the Luis Jimenez, you know, had left FM radio. and kind of like all these pieces were individually were put out together, but with, you know, full of ideas and creative ideas as well. I just said, as I'm doing Latinx, there was a moment where I just couldn't continue just talking about Latinx when we knew that the conversation in America was shifting over to blacks.
Right.
And I had an opinion, and I wanted to talk about that with my black friends. And I noticed that there wasn't really a space because, look, when you go digitally, right, you see NBC Latino, NBC Black, you see The Root, you see Division. So everybody's segregated.
Right, in their own world, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone has verticals that are just Latino, just black, just white, just Democrats. And I said, why doesn't anybody just put the two largest ethnic minorities in the United States
together,
Latinos and black, together?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we have more commonalities than we have differences. And so the idea was to kind of explore that from a pop culture perspective. So there's a guy by the name of Mike Sargent. You might have heard of him. Mike is the black version of me, is what I like to say.
Ah, okay.
He's on national television, but instead of being on the Today Show, he's on Fox Business News. He's on PBS NewsHour.
I know the name.
Al Jazeera.
Yep.
But he's a black man who's a film critic and talks a lot about politics and culture, much like I do. So I met him at a movie theater, and I said, bro, you and I are two peas in a pod. Why don't we create a show together uniting Latinx and black culture to talk about movies, politics, technology, you know, culture? And he's like, you know what? That sounds like a great idea. And so what we do on the show is we kind of learn from each other. Because I'm not black, I don't really understand the black experience as much as he does, obviously, and vice versa. For him, the biggest complaint is that we're really complicated. You know, there's just so many dimensions to us that he can't categorize. And I think that that's the problem with a lot of advertisers, with a lot of people that want, even politicians.
Yep.
The Dems didn't reach out to us properly. The Republicans did. So everyone's confounded in how to reach us. And I think that through the podcast, why does A.O. Scott, a white Jewish guy at the New York Times,
right,
why is he able to talk about Coco, the movie, and not a Latino film critic? So we kind of wanted to just give a different spin, a different perspective, the same exact stories that are being told from a very white perspective, to then bring it back to the appropriate culture who the theme or subject is about.
I love that.
So from Latinos or blacks. And that's what we're doing. And, you know, we're 20 episodes in. We've interviewed Lopez, John Leguizamo.
No way.
Historians.
We've had George Lopez on this podcast. Have we not, Carolina?
Yes, we have. Yes, we have.
He's no...
Wow.
So Brown and Black is exactly it. It's kind of like looking at the news in pop and race through a brown and black lens.
What have you learned from your black... You said black friend. You have black friends, I hope. You're not just one...
I have black friends, yeah.
I thought he said friend, like, yeah, my black friend. It's like, wait, Jack only has one black friend? Wait a
second. Sure,
I have more black friends than that.
I'm sure he does.
I have two.
So Jack, let me ask you something. So the podcast, does it start off with a certain topic, and then you guys both interact, what your beliefs are, what your culture believes?
Right, so the structure really is not so much about identity. We really like to keep it top. But like you said a little while ago, politics is so entrenched in our daily lives that it's hard to escape it. So we started off talking about consumerism, about movies and the death of movie theaters. So we started talking about that, really about Hollywood, from a black and brown perspective, but then all of a sudden politics kicked in.
Oh, yeah.
And we decided to make the show very topical.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening in the country that is affecting our lives? Why do we walk around with a lot of anxiety? How is the pandemic affecting our socialization, our connection to other people? Arts completely wiped out of the, you know, face of America, probably even the world. There's no Broadway, there's no movie theaters, there's no sports to go to. How is that affecting us as brown and black people? The pandemic, it's killing more black and brown people than any other group in America.
Why is that? I'm like so
because
shocked.
Because we're poor, and we don't have the resources and the institutions.
No access,
from the government, unfortunately, don't prioritize us. in any way. And so the idea is, how do we take that back? How do we take our voices back? How do we fit in circles where we should belong, but we've been either, you know, just deterred from entering,
right,
or they don't want us
or there. Blocked. Yeah. Do you have hope that now the Democratic administration is coming? Do you have any hope?
No, because I think the Democrats are just as dirty as the Republicans, and it's been like that since the beginning of time.
But you won't have the head of the party, the main figurehead, screaming about, you know, how the Mexicans are racist.
Let me ask you something,
right?
Jeff.
You know,
did you ever have a problem in having Ronald Reagan or George or the two Bushes your president any point?
I did complain about them a lot. I mean, to be honest with you, I called Bush Pig Bush for years. I hated that guy. Now I look at George Bush, I'm like, wow, he's mild compared to what Trump did. And Reagan, I thought Reagan was out for the rich and powerful. I never liked Reagan. There's an interesting documentary on Reagan this month on Showtime, by the way, that basically this guy was an actor who shilled for GE and just went around. He was a figurehead.
He was a puppet.
He was a puppet, and he knew nothing about anything. And he was, apparently, by all accounts, he was senile in his second term. You know, didn't know what he was doing at all. So I don't know.
You never hated them to the level that you hate Trump. So I think for us, it's not about the Republican Party. It's about what represented and how the Republican Party evolved into a very dark, dangerous party that could mean the destruction of our country. Because essentially what we've seen in the last 2 weeks is that Donald Trump and looks like the rest of the party want to destroy democracy as it was instituted and recreate a brand new constitution seen through their eyes of our... Yeah,
no input. Yep, it's like this guy's just decided that they've just decided that they want to run the country the way they run the country. I know the extreme left feels the same way. That's why I really think there's got to be some sort of coming together. I think the cat's out of the bag, though. I think you're right. I mean, look, Trump came down the stair, that came down the elevator when he started his campaign, and the first thing he said within 2 minutes was that Mexico sends us the worst. They send us rapists. Okay, that's where it all started. People forget that's where it began. That's where this guy started to reinvent himself. I'm going to be an asshole, he basically said. I'm going to just say whatever the hell I want. And it worked for him for 4 years, and I think people burned out on it.
I think these last couple of weeks, even last couple of days, I think people are starting to realize, like, what the hell? You know, some of his own party, too. I mean, they want to also, you know, intervene there, you know, and have some kind of, like, approach him and see what's going on. I mean, that's what I've been hearing. I don't know how true that can be, but...
You know what the hope is, Jack? The hope is that the black guy in Georgia wins and the Jewish guy in Georgia wins, okay?
Democrats... Because then we take the Senate.
Yeah, take the Senate and bring some sanity back. These guys... Look, I understand that they're both very corporate parties. Where's the fun? Where are we doing... Why am I being so... They're both corporate parties, but I think the Democrats still do more for people. And, I mean, the Republicans are still out for the wealthy and... You know, this guy Trump, he waved the American flag a lot, and people I hate to say, but some people like a strong man. These people with their flags, and not every Trump supporter is a moron, and I really think that's a very important message to push. I think it's dangerous to go the other way and you know, put everybody in the same boat, if you will.
In the same bucket.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Same bucket of deplorables, right? I know. My gosh.
Hey, listen, Jackson, listen, I can't wait to hear a podcast. Let our listeners know. So you have your podcast in, right?
We're headed 25th episode.
Wow.
We're just working on it right now. We just talked to historian Paul Ortiz. He's a Chicano who wrote a book called The African American Latinx History of the United States.
Wow.
Oh, I love that.
And essentially that book really talks about our contributions as Latino people in the United States, but it also interweaves them with the history of blacks in this country. So one of the questions we ask him is, back in 1865 when Lincoln was fighting for black slaves in this country to free them, why weren't Latino slaves too? Where was the Colombian, the Bolivian, the Peruvian, the Mexican?
Nicaragua too, Costa Rican. Yeah.
Why isn't that our story too?
I know, right?
If we lived in this country at the same exact time. So the answers are very provocative. I mean, this guy did 10 years of research to answer all of these questions.
That sounds interesting.
And the episode's coming out this Friday. Over, so
we got to take a listen.
To kind of have these conversations finally.
Yeah, got to take a listen. So, Jack, are you on every firm?
We're essentially in every platform because we're in the same network that you and Revolver, you know, so
excellent.
Shout out to Revolver. We're on Spotify, we're on Pandora, we're on Amazon Music, we're on Google Music, we're on Stitcher, we're on everywhere that you want to check out the podcast.
I have to listen Here's
what I tell everybody, please support our shows. Like Adelina Cato, this show.
Thank
you. Voices matter. Inter representation matters. These conversations are not being had in white outlets.
Exactly.
The mainstream.
Exactly.
The cool ones.
I feel like Jack
but
would punch.
Cool.
I feel like Jack
Listen
would punch me.
Show.
I think he'll jack me if he's right. If he's right here,
I'll punch you for you.
You white son of a bitch! You're keeping us down. What are you doing? Listen, I'm not a bad white guy, man. I know I get pigeonholed for being white, but I think you know. Here's my one real quick point. I love when people celebrate their culture. I love when people celebrate who they are. But sometimes it's interesting to not know someone's perspective and hear them, and not know someone is black, and not know someone's Hispanic and hear them, and then suddenly, wow, he's black and he's saying that. You know, like I listened to someone on the radio, no idea they were black, and then suddenly I heard they were black. It just suddenly, like, I liked it better when I almost didn't know who they were. Yeah, does that sound, you know what I mean? It just sounds weird, but it's...
No, yeah, because you want to take, quote-unquote, the politics out of it.
Right.
You know? You kind of just want to be within the moment, and then if it surprises you, then that's great. But unfortunately, we're very past that. Because it's the same problem that got us into this mess. It's constant ignoring what we represent, what we really want to say, but we're not allowed to say. So, yeah, I think it worked at some point, but now we have to be a bit more obvious with what we want to communicate. That way we can reach the target audience.
I love it.
That's why I got him
Jack,
to say that.
Thank you so much for coming on. And we want to get your co-host, too, in a couple of weeks. And let's get you both guys on, right?
Awesome. I love this. Guys, thank you so much. And by the way, if I don't talk to you, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jack. All right. I'm going to have a vegan turkey. I can't wait.
All right. Thanks, Jack. Love you. Cuídate. Bye-bye.
Take care, Jack.
Guys. Right. Love you guys, too.
Right. Bye.
I love that podcast. I love just the whole concept. You know that?
It's interesting. And yeah. I mean, Hey, listen.
I worked on a podcast with my friend Sean. It's called Fashion Decipher. Wow. Guys, got to listen to it. You know, it's just about talking about the fashion styles, the latest ones. You know, with Latinas, and she also does black designers. It's just a great podcast. So check it out, guys. It's called Fashion Decipher, and it's everywhere. Okay,
it's everywhere too. Yes, it's like on everywhere. Spotify and the whole deal. Yeah.
Hey, listen, get Whippy on real quick. I want to talk to you before you get out of here.
You see the guy with the flamethrower on top of the bus in the city yesterday?
No, what happened?
He's a rapper. He got a flamethrower from somewhere, and he stood on top of a bus making a video.
He's doing
a flamethrower,
and
people are on the bus, and this guy's with a flamethrower, and what are people doing? They all have their phones out. They're just recording the guy.
Can I tell you, you could get your phones out for something. And I was like, you know, they see something going
Help
on.
Help me! I'm being killed. Hold on, let me get my iPhone out a second.
Exactly.
I gotta see what the hell's going on.
So let's see what else is going on in the world. You know what, Jeff? So
yes.
Mossimo Giannulli is now starting his prison sentence. Who is that? That's from? Oh my God!
Yeah, the from
actress.
Full House, right?
Yes.
Lori Loughlin.
Yes, I think she's completed her sentence.
No, she's still in jail.
Well, she still is.
They said she wanted to be out by Christmas, but she's still she got like 90 days, right?
Yeah, but didn't they say that she also went to like a. Like one of those jails where she's yoga.
I know, but you still can't leave. You're still in jail.
Yeah,
you're still in there with people who aren't as nice as you are, I bet.
Now is he going to a similar one too?
Oh no.
Okay.
I think he's going to a jail where he's going to be forced to bend over a lot.
Oh, stop. Anyway, he shaved his head to go to prison.
Oh, he shaved his head to go to prison so he could look tough.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Mossimo Giannulli.
That's her husband, huh?
Yeah, that's her husband.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Just look at that.
Yeah.
He looks like a thug now.
Mossimo. Is he the one I used to do for Target? I remember that brand. Mossimo.
No, that's... Why? Is he a clothing guy?
Yes,
oh,
he is.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
I have Mossimo shirt.
I'm going to ask my friend.
No Gubin.
Yeah, no?
He knows we went to Jack Rico first. He's mad. I wish I was George Clooney's friend. You see that story?
Why?
He gave 14 of his best friends $1 each about 10 years ago.
Oh, my God.
He just gave $1 million each.
Please leave your message.
Isn't that nice, Jeff, just to be able to do that?
Well, did you see Dolly Parton donated $1 million towards research for the virus?
Really?
Yeah, Dolly Parton was on the Today Show yesterday. She donated $1 million for the virus research.
Good for her. You know, I'm sorry that she's doing a good thing.
Yeah,
and I respect
she never ages.
No, she looks great. By the way, do you saw the Vatican out investigating the Pope's account? Because supposedly he liked a racy photo of someone in a bikini with a big butt.
Racy? I was looking at it. It's in the Post today. Of course it's in the Post.
Yeah. I mean, but can I ask you, who's actually looking to his, who looks at his likes? Is someone like monitoring that?
Yeah, people follow the Pope, you know?
I'm going to start doing that to you, but I wonder what you're liking. I don't even know what you like.
You deleted all those college girls I had on my Instagram.
Oh, that's
Instagram.
Right! That's
through
right.
my phone. Because someone followed me or something. Yeah. Somebody followed me once.
Yeah.
Went down the rabbit hole and I kept looking at her friends. I'm like, oh, look, I'll follow that.
Yeah.
And suddenly my feed was just filled with girls who were like 19 years old in Arizona State in bikinis.
Supposedly, Harvey Weinstein is very ill.
Yeah, he's
they
got
said
corona.
COVID.
That's
yeah.
sad. Yep. That's a bummer. I don't care what you did in life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bummer. He's old. He's not a young guy either.
No.
Right?
No.
He's 70?
I don't know how old he is, but yeah, he's very ill.
By the way, the girl in the Pope light. Her butt makes J-Lo's butt look like it's a baby's butt. She's got... Wow, what's her name? Her name is... Natalia Galboto.
Galboto?
I'm trying. Galboto. Okay?
So, that's very good. Conan O'Brien ending his late night show after 28 years.
I know.
I didn't even know he was still on the air.
I told you, he's on TBS. I tape Conan all the time.
But it's like they've pushed him to the back burner, right?
Yeah. Now Conan's the older guy. Right, yeah. He's 57.
This is true, yeah. Because you have Jimmy Kimmel, and you have
Colbert, who's 50, a little younger than Conan.
And then you have the other guy, Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon, yeah.
Yeah, but Conan's going to HBO Max with a variety show.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, what happened
was
they reconfigured Conan's show a couple of years ago. They got rid of the band, and they cut him down to a half an hour. Mm-hmm. Conan's still funny. But he got sidelined. When you're on TBS, nobody sees you compared to being on the bigger networks.
Hey, listen, so before we get out of here, I actually got an email, carolinacadillo@gmail.com. Young girl, loves the podcast. She said, I've known you since Univision and ESPN.
Univision, you mean?
Yes, Univision.
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 What are you, white, Caroline?
Okay. Oh, no.
Caroline?
Anyway, she asked a question, Jeff. So she asked us both, or her opinion, all right?
Yeah.
She is 24 years old.
Uh-huh.
She lives in a city, works in a city, didn't tell me what she does, all right?
Right.
And she met someone online.
Right.
Okay? Just one of those dating apps.
Yes.
And she asks now, with everything going on right now, the guy asked her out on the first date. How does she go about doing that? She says they've spoken on the phone, they FaceTime each other. But now he asked her out on a date.
She's kind of scared. I recommend bubble wrap. A lot of bubble wrap.
She's scared.
I don't blame her.
I mean, she said, you know, it's not like a little date. Like, I remember our first date. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we were kissing. We had passionate sex, I think, that same night, right?
No. I don't think so.
I'm joking. But, you know, we did kiss. But how do you have a first date?
Very hard.
Yeah. So she asked her opinion. What should she do?
Wait for a vaccine.
And Jeff, can
or
I
meet
ask
the guy at a distance? That's all. Go meet him at a distance.
Yeah.
No.
I'd be scared though. Like, how do you know where he's been?
You meet him outside somewhere.
Yeah. But how do you know where he's been? And
you don't
you know
where
vice
he's
versa.
Been.
Exactly.
You don't
right?
know where he's been. That's why you know someone I know. Their brother-in-law just died. Now you don't know if this guy didn't wear a mask.
Yeah.
You don't know where he had been. You don't know if maybe a germ can sneak in through the top of the mask.
Because they're saying that 1 in 10 people that are eating in restaurants are actually getting COVID.
And we've eaten in restaurants since the virus. We've eaten out...
A handful of times.
A handful?
Not a lot.
How about a dozen?
Okay, that's it. Okay, but
maybe
that's...
even more.
No, I don't think so. Not really. Not
with my
really.
Mom and her other half?
We've no, eaten not really a lot.
Four times?
Yeah, exactly.
We ate outside with them?
Yeah, exactly. But even the holidays, we're actually going to be home.
Most likely.
Most of them are going to be home because now... By the way, so Cuomo has limited family gatherings to 10.
Yeah.
And someone was asking, how are they going to monitor
they're
that?
They're not.
How do you know I'm not having 50 people in my house having wine and partying? How the hell know that?
All right, don't yell. You're going to distort. You're Latinx, Caroline. You're going to have the whole... You're going to have all of Nicaragua in our house.
Exactly.
No,
exactly.
Listen, and by the way, to Jack's point, I mean, he's right in a way, about Cuomo with the movie theaters. I mean... You
don't think he's doing the right thing, though?
I'm kind of caught.
Yeah, but at the same time, COVID is rising.
Yeah,
and I feel bad for these companies. But Jeff, how else do you stop it?
Well, Jack's right, because the whole thing is political. Did you see Cuomo and de Blasio get up and say, listen, all you people dancing in the streets for Joe Biden, don't do that. But you know, they don't say anything about protests, but they want to limit your family gathering? A little hypocritical. I kind of get it. I get people. I don't think Cuomo's Hitler, like everybody says. He does kind of want to control things. I get it. And it's all because of the virus. And I totally side with the fact that you don't want more people getting sick and dying. So maybe it's just a sacrifice this year. Sacrifice your big gatherings this year, so that hopefully this time next year we can all be back to the semblance of normal. And by the way, listen, people, I never say people, but don't be afraid to get the vaccine. I'll be the first one online.
But can I ask you, Jeff, who is actually getting the vaccine? Who are going to be the privileged ones to get the vaccine first?
The people who are healthcare workers, first line healthcare workers.
Okay.
And they're saying some older folks are going to try to get it to first. Mm-hmm. And I heard today that the one vaccine, the first one, which has to be stored very cold, that's 90% effective. And the other one from the company that Dolly Parton backed, Pfizer,
yeah, yeah.
No, not the Pfizer, the Moderna, that one is 95% effective.
Can I get all three of them?
There's only two.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I'll give you another injection if you'd like. I think that what's going to happen is, and this is like Big Brother, but I think people are going to get to some sort of card because you got vaccinated.
Told me this,
I really think so, because Ticketmaster is already hinting that for concert, they want to have concerts next summer. And if you want to go to a concert, show that you got the vaccine. I mean, are people going to wear masks?
Yeah.
I think masks, when I went to the doctor yesterday, I think that for now, I can't imagine a time where you're going to go to a doctor's office and not be forced to wear a mask.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's just it.
Yeah.
That's part of life now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad, you know, in a way, but God, I don't want to be such a bummer.
That's okay. This podcast is a little different today, guys.
I love George Clooney. I'm telling you, man, I'm trying. I just wanted to go back to this. George Clooney said it wasn't easy to find $14 million.
Are you kidding me?
Like, to actually find that amount of cash.
Oh, wow.
Like, he put it in designer suitcases, and he rented a truck that said the word florist on the side.
Are you serious?
Yes, it's hilarious.
Wow.
It's hilarious.
I mean, if I won the lottery, I know a couple of people I'd give money to.
I'd give money to that guy in the tobacco store around the corner. I like
him.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I won $1 million, I'd give him $10,000.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money.
I think I pick somebody random too, in a because I see too many times, Jeff, elderly people.
Yeah,
that you know they can't. I'll see like a couple of weeks ago, I was at
Costco,
some food
Target.
Store. I think it was at Costco.
Where else?
An elderly person had to put stuff back, and it just broke my heart. You know that?
Did you give up any of the 57 cans of Lysol that you've purchased?
Oh my God! Can I tell you something?
I shouldn't say that. Somebody will break into this
house.
People
are going crazy over that.
I know.
Crazy.
How about the wipes?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have to say, I'm stocking up on it because you don't know what's going to go on. You don't know. By the way, so I know, I don't know if you got your first edition yet. Playgirl has relaunched, and its first edition is now sold out.
Playgirl,
yes.
Oh, God. No, Playboy's online. It's still a great magazine, but
so it's sold out.
The Playgirl.
Yep, Playgirl.
Women don't like looking at wankers the way men like looking at. Women don't get the same visual thrill. You get a visual thrill looking at a penis?
No.
Thanks so much, honey.
Just yours, baby.
By the way,
so now that people are complaining, Meghan and Harry don't care about anything, just money, money, money.
Well, that's
because
what they
just signed a Netflix deal, okay?
Yeah.
But people are urging Harry to back out because there's supposedly kind of documentary about Princess Diana where they like totally knock her down.
Really?
Yeah, and then they're saying, Harry, why would you want to be part of a company that, you know, puts your mother down?
And
Megan's like, we're not leaving. We're staying here.
Netflix puts everything on us. You can't, it's a platform for stuff. There's going to be things there that people don't like. You know?
Hey, guys, listen. Okay, next podcast will definitely be fun, okay? This was fun. But we can't ignore what's going on in the country right now. We just can't.
We're done. And listen, we know there's nothing left. Honestly, this is the way I feel. There's really nothing left to say about the virus. That's it. Everything's been said. I just think now it's time to move on. Hopefully we'll get a vaccine and things will be.
Yeah.
What's that? Like playing the dolphin sound.
Hey, guys, if you want to reach us, 516-637-3254. If you're a printing company and can get us a great deal on masks with our logo, please call us, 516-637-3254. You'll get free advertising on this podcast here, okay?
You
for
will.
A year.
We'll
yeah.
keep mentioning your name.
Yeah, so 516-637-3254. Email us, carolinacadillo@gmail.com. carolinacadillo@gmail.com. We're all over Instagram, Facebook, at carolinacadillo. Guys, you know what? Be safe. Amongst above thing, please use a mask.
Follow me on Twitter. I have a new traffic account, Traffic Jensen, J-E-N-S-E-N. Okay. Yeah. Also, the real Jeff Jensen on Instagram, Jeffrey Jensen on Facebook, or Jeff Jensen on Facebook, and Jeff Jensen Show on Twitter. Thanks for listening, everybody. Love you. JJ and DJ at optonline.net, too. The Carolina Cadillo Show is a JJ production. Thanks, Jack Rico.